Praise God. Welcome to Revival Today. We're glad to have you for another episode. This episode is Nothing Compares.
If you came to praise God, you know, your number one job is to worship Him. You know, when we learn that God is all that we need, you put Him as the center of your life, you're going to see God work things out. I'm in a place right now where I'm challenged because sometimes you feel that the people of God have not really made their minds up. Haven't really been convinced that the God that they serve is a mighty God. Amen. And that He's a God that is able to supply all your needs. The message today is nothing compares. Look at somebody and say, nothing compares.
Nothing compares.
Nothing compares. And the message that God placed in my spirit is nothing compares. But there's a problem right now because we have taken so many things into our life and we allow them to replace God.
Amen.
And then we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm in a predicament and I need your help. Mm-hmm. And when we do this, we have to understand that you don't understand that God has given you the keys to the kingdom. He has given you access to what is His. But you can't get what is yours unless you believe that He's your Father. Now, when God had placed the scripture in my spirit about nothing compared, He wants us to understand that. What are you comparing Him to? The Bible says that He gives us life and gives it to us more abundantly. What do you compare Him to? The reason why we are suffering the way we're going through is because we put things in place of God.
Yes.
And we gave them permission to have authority over our life. Now, when I mean permission, you allow things to come into your life, allow them to lead and guide you rather than God. So He said, I'm trying to show you that nothing compares to my love, but you put something in its place. And now you're finding yourself in a predicament. Somebody say, in a predicament.
In a predicament.
God's people, we're supposed to live a victorious life. You cannot be victorious in your own strength. That's why it says, serve the Lord, the God, with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your, someone say, your path. But you have to know who you trust in. There's a scripture in Proverbs 15:29. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Someone say, He hears the prayers,
Of the righteous.
How many of you offered up God a prayer about something you're going through? The Bible says that when Mary received word from the angel Gabriel that she was going to receive a child, the Bible says that the angel says that the Lord has found you highly favored. This scripture says that God does not hear the prayers of the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Now, reason why I want to talk about this, nothing compares to God's love. We go before God and we cry out, Lord, I'm in a predicament and I need your help, but we're not righteous. So I'm telling you right now, those of you that consider the Lord as your Savior and you place Him first in your life, continue to pray before God. Continue to lift up your household. Because He's hearing your prayer. So when somebody turns to you and say, it ain't worth being saved because it doesn't matter, I want you to know that God said He hears the prayer of the righteous. I want to know, whose side do you want to be on? I want to be on God's side. Regardless of what I'm going through, I want to be on God's side. in order for me to get victory in my life, I want to be on God's side. I have a scripture for you. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 30th chapter 1 through 8. Now, this is about David, King David. And this is NIV, but I want you to hear this because he was in a predicament. Someone say in a predicament.
In a predicament.
Some of us are in situations and we don't quite have a way out. We don't quite understand how we're going to get out. And we need to know that God is in control, but we must know that nothing compares to him. So you have to make up your mind whom you're going to serve. Okay, we're going to read that scripture. Go ahead, Marita.
Samuel, 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 8. David destroys the Amalekites. David and his men reach Ziklag. And on the third day, now the Amalekites had raided the...
You can kind of put it in there, whatever way you can figure it out.
EG and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. And had taken captive the women and everyone else in it.
See, so way here, it was saying that they were in a situation where there was attack on his people. All right? There was an attack on the people, David's family, David's people. All right, go ahead.
And had taken captive the women and everyone else in it.
So with taking captive, the army came in and took captive. Someone said take captive.
Take captive.
The enemy came into his camp and took captive his people. Now go ahead.
Both young and old.
Young and old. Go ahead.
They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. And when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive.
See, so they found that their people were taken captives, wives, sons, daughters. They were all taken. Go ahead.
So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured. Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and his daughters.
Now, right there, it says here, David was upset. But now he was not just upset, but he was the leader of his men. And what happened was the enemy came into his camp and took his sons, their daughters, and they took them away. So the Bible says that the men, the army, they begin to cry and weep all night. Somebody say all night.
All night.
How many have been in a situation where something happened to you and caused you to cry all night?
Amen.
So the enemy came into the camp and took what was theirs. It didn't say he killed them. He said it took them. This is what the enemy is doing. The enemy is showing up in your life, taking out what is yours. Taking out what you worked hard for. Taking out your blessings, taking out your generation blessings, and taking it for themselves. So the men became upset with David, and they began to cry all night. And say the Bible says here that they were crying all night, and they wept with loud. They wept, not just wept quietly, but they cried with a loud voice. How many of you cried? Sometimes you cry like this, and your heart is hurt. But when you have your child that cries with a loud voice, you, everyone in the house know, you know. My wife, my daughter brought over my wife's niece's son, and he has what they call that? What they call cry? Yes. And he was good all day. And then all of a sudden, when he decided to start crying, everybody in the house was running around like it was an emergency. This boy was crying so hard, it made me like, oh, honey, you got to take this baby home. You got to take him home. How many of you been like that? Oh, you got to take this child home. I don't have a solution for this. Now they like, ah! And I was like, we got neighbors. Somebody going to come up in here. But the men cried out all night with a loud voice. So they weren't just weeping. No, they cried out. You ever been in a situation where it calls you to cry out? So this is what happened to the men of God. They were doing work for the Lord. Imagine this. You're doing work for the Lord and the enemy comes into your camp and steals what's yours. And the Bible says that they became angry. Do you have that passage right there? It says here that David cried. They cried all night. And it says David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Now, this is a predicament. You're a leader. You're trying to lead people out. You're trying to show them the way. You're the one. They come to you. How many of you have been in a situation where your family has been relying on you and things aren't going so well? Everyone wakes up and they point at you. You the boss. You the one why we in this mess. David was in a predicament. He was in a situation where they began to cry out. But did you just hear me say that the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous?
Amen.
So David was crying. I know what it feels like to go through something and cry out before God and say, Lord, I need your help. I need deliverance.
Amen.
But don't you know that the enemy is going to come in your camp and try to steal what is yours? And because of that, we must be aware. We must not turn on the men and women of God. You must not turn on your family member that's seeking the Lord because they're covering your back. Sometimes we get up and say, oh, well, you don't know what you're doing. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know what you're doing. So David became concerned because he said, hey, Lord, I'm concerned because my people. And then God turned around and said, it's my people. I'm leading you. So they became concerned. And they became concerned. And it said, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his son and daughter. But David found strength. Somebody said, found strength. In the Lord his God. Now, the way that pastor said, the Lord his God, say the Lord his God.
Lord his God.
Now say, the Lord my God.
Lord my
Come
God.
On, somebody. Give God some praise. The Lord my God. See, it was his God. He had a relationship with his God. Like I always tell you, you can't go to church trying to find a religious experience. You need to find a righteous house of God so that you can grow because it's your God. It's not your family's God. It's not your parents' God. No, the Bible says that everyone must work out their own soul salvation. We have churches where everybody want to stand up, pray together, sit down together, pray together. And then nobody knows how to get the victory because they don't have their God outside of church. So that's why there's a lot of scriptures referencing righteousness. Righteousness, because righteousness is the code word. Someone say code word. We're trying to follow everybody, get with everybody, get in everything, and not check it out to see if it's righteous. When you don't check out what you're dealing with, guess what? You're going to find yourself in a big mess. But David had a righteous God, and David knew his God, and David was convinced that his God was real. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to know is God real? Guess what? Did you make yourself? Guess what? Who started it all? Guess what? The things that you don't see really exist, like that sickness that you had in your body that you can't find. The electricity that's running through this building that is dealing with the lights. Don't you know that that's something you can't see, but you got to believe it because you'll get shocked. And then we have a nerve. I don't know if God's real. My God. You keep on getting with that spirit. you're going to be overtaken. So I need the body to know that nothing's supposed to compare to him. Nothing. So if, how many of you want the victory? Say, I want the victory. And if you want the victory, you have to get back to that place where you said nothing compares to that. Nothing compares to his love. So go to the verse where it says David was greatly distressed, elder, and then go from there.
Okay. But David found strength in the Lord his God. So David inquired at the Lord. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, I shall pursue after this troop, and I overtake them. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
See, so right here it said David acquired of the Lord. Someone said acquire.
Inquire.
He didn't go to his friend, the neighbor, the person across the street, the one in your prayer group. It seemed like they so established in the Lord. No, he acquired of the Lord. And he pursued after him. So it says here, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? So he said to the Lord, what should I do? How many of us are saying, Lord, what should I do? We just doing stuff. Everybody can be holiness when you get to do and be. But guess what? When it's time to be the leader of your household, now you got to realize that you either going to sink or swim. And we are sinking because we put everything before God and not standing on that he is all that we need. Guess what? Anything that comes outside of the Lord needs to fall in line with the Lord. That's why the scripture says, seek ye first. But it says also, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Somebody said, choose ye this day.
Choose ye this day.
It ain't no game. The devil is trying to take our life, trying to take you out. Look at all the success in society, and those with the most success are still shooting up, still dying of the suicide, because there's more going on than what you see. And we cannot get to victory, people, unless we know the victory. And the victory is not in yourself. It's not in your own plan. You're going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to inquire of the Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me because you are iniquity. I don't know you. Because you're faking it until you make it. I tell you right now. You have to know how to look the devil in the eyes and tell him, get out. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But the Bible says that we're placing stumbling blocks in ourselves, in our own way. You know what that means? It means that you're actually going getting it. You're placing it. And now you're telling the Lord, I'm stuck here. But the God is saying, you're stuck here because you put it there. Instead of going to the Lord and saying, what do you think about it? Nobody want to do that. Guess why? Because of flesh. There's a Bible verse in Romans 8:1. It says the scripture. It says, there is therefore no now condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There's no condemnation. What that means is there's no fault. You can't find anything on him. The Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of. There's a reason why God is trying to line you up with righteousness. The reason is because he wants to stretch out and help you. But he said, I can't touch the unclean. Hey, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this house. But the thing is, what are you living by faith? If you're living by faith, David was in a circumstance. He was in a situation. Some of you are in a situation that's causing you to cry out. So when David was in a situation, he sat down and he began to cry before the Lord. He said, Lord, you called me to lead these people. And now we're in a situation. But instead of him going to Sally or Sue and calling his the one next to him, there was nothing that compares to God. So he said, no, I don't have no one I can go to but to you. Hallelujah, the Messiah. And then when you learn that God is mighty in battle, somebody say he's mighty in battle. Come on, somebody. He is mighty in battle. You are in a battle. I'm in a battle. And because you're mighty in battle, that means you got to put your war clothes on. You can't dance and fool around and act like you know about war clothes. You got to put them on because the battle is not over. Excuse me. The battle's not over. If you go in the battle and you up there singing and shouting and dancing, I'm in the battle. This is what we do in church. We sing and dance and la, 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 la. And the enemy says, I got my war clothes on. I'm going to go into your camp. I'm going to take your children. I'm going to take your job. I'm going to take your husband. And you just still at your la, 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 la. And God is trying to talk to you and he's saying, acquire of me. He said, don't get with those that are living righteous. He said, acquire of me. Like your testimony, brother. You remember how you were a millionaire, is that right? And then all of a sudden he began to do like the prodigal son and spend it all. Because he had it all. You didn't think you could lose it, huh? Because it was more than enough. Somebody say more than enough. But the enemy is going to come in and take what is yours and then make it not enough. And now you're in a predicament. But you know what he started doing? He traveled many dark roads. He called me many nights in tears. And I began to say, guess what? You can't win your house. You can't win the people that loved you when you had the money. What you have to do is you got to acquire of the Lord and know him for yourself. Stop playing.
Amen.
And I would tell the brother, I said, don't play, don't play, don't play. You live a life so people can see a life. Excuse me. I'm spraying people. That's why y'all don't stay in the front row. I know. Let's get a little shield right here. Everybody's like, we love the pastor, but he be spraying. So, guess what? I love the Lord. I love you. Praise God. Amen. Give God some praise. Some say to me, listen, you know, God said he's going to fill the house. He said we're going to have a church over a couple thousand. And you know, it doesn't start without your help. But guess what? I told the Lord, I said, I want to be like Gideon. Get those weak ones out. Get those that are disturbing things out. And bring me people that are going to be strengthened by the word of God. And they're going to take hold of the gospel and not be just those that are passive, just sitting around in the house. But they're going to be men and women that are disciples of Christ. That want to win souls, that want to be an influence in their family's lives. That want to conquer the enemy. Want to be able to go into the enemy camp and take back what he stole it from you. But you can't do it when you keep playing and acting like you are ready for the battle and you haven't put on the armor of righteousness. And that's the cold word. Every time you see Jesus speak, he talked about John the Baptist came before him. His job was to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, excuse me, is at hand. John the Baptist was a cousin. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but it says David inquired at the Lord saying, shall I pursue after this troop? So he didn't just get mad. You know how we get mad and just do stuff? Or we know the Lord so much, we just do stuff. We just do all kind of stuff. And don't really inquire the Lord, because if you inquire the Lord, he's going to first put your flesh in place. Everybody prophesying, everybody talking about the Lord. You get them on an off day, you don't even know they're Jesus anymore. They curse you out quicker than you can say, ugh. In the house of God. But I'm talking about acquiring righteousness and being able to go before God and say to the Lord, listen, I'm acquiring of you. I know that this happened. He didn't just go and say, I'm going to just go do this. But he said, Lord, what do you think about it? Now, you know, when you're mad and you're really upset about something, you're in something, you don't know how to get out. You can't go to the Lord and already have your plan. So he went to God and he said, Lord, what should I do in this situation? And so the Bible says David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And then it says, and he answered him. So the Bible says, and the Lord answered him. And remember when we talked about last week where it said the Lord spoke in a still and quiet voice? When you need to listen, you need to shut up and be quiet. You can't be those. We like to be emotional and loud. So like, ah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, I want a still moment with you. So I can talk to you. So I can speak to your spirit. And so I can give you a plan. I am happy today. Are you happy in the Lord? Are you receiving this word? Give God some praise. Amen. I hope you're. It says in the scripture, shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Somebody said, without fail, recover all. Get ready, Brother Corey, without fail, recover all. So when people looked at you and say you stupid for serving the Lord, I remember my cousins, when I was younger, we were always in church and they would tease us and laugh at us and make us feel bad. And I remember we sat in my mom in our room, my brother and I, and cried. When I get older, I'm not doing church. They got me in church too much. We were in all night prayer in church. We don't do that these days. We try it now. But the thing is that we were in all night prayer. And we were in all night prayer. We were where we came in our pajamas. My wife always says, stop saying pajamas. As kids, we would bring our pillows, our blankets, and see our parents pray all night. Law. We don't have that no more. You like the sister was saying in the revival at Huama Church the other evening, it was talking about, hey, you're in the church and we don't want the mothers and fathers of faith anymore in the house where they're checking out how you dress. And we said, leave our kid alone. But God is trying to line us up with what? The cold word, what is it? Oh, y'all already forgot. What's the code word? He's trying to line us up with righteousness. How many want to be in righteousness? You know, I reason why we come, think about it like this. So somebody say to you, why do you go to church? Why do you even do this? Say, why do you get gas? You get it because you need it or you ain't going nowhere. Somebody say, you ain't going nowhere. But when you get what you need from the Lord, you have more than enough. He will give you the strength to make it through the week.
Yes.
And also he will lead and guide you to all truth. So it said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. And so when he was seeking the Lord in a still and quiet voice, the Lord said to them, guess what? You're going to pursue them and you're going to overtake them and you're going to get all your stuff. And some of you need to get ready to hear from God so you can get all your stuff. Hey, come on, somebody, give God some praise. I want all my stuff and more. The two houses he took from me, I want it in more. The job that was able to provide my need, I want it in more.
Amen.
All my stuff. If you just connect with the Lord the way you need to connect with him, it's like a light that finally is connected with that electricity. It begins to shine. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to be ashamed of it. All you need to know is that if you know him and you pursue him and you seek him, he's going to provide your need and all your stuff. You're going to get back. I want my marriage to be successful. I want my house to prosper. I want myself to be an overcomer. All my stuff. Somebody say, all my stuff.
All my stuff.
It says, for the Lord is far from the wicked. But he hears the prayers of the righteous. So when I say that nothing compares, compare anything else that you had in your life. You had something that was valuable, but guess what? It was lost. They were able to get it. That money, silver and gold, you might have it, but you can't store treasures in heaven. Your mind, that when you came out of your mother's womb, you had a right mind, and now your mind is lost. He's taken all of your stuff, and the church is just playing games and don't know who Jesus is. And when you know who Jesus is, when you have an intimate relationship with this man, it is not that fairy tale. It's something that overtakes you. And it comes and is a mighty rushing wind, and it changes who you are. He said, I'm going to change your mind. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change your thinking. And when he did it for me, I was so excited about the Lord that every time I go back to that place, I cry. Somebody say, my kids know. They said, Dad, you're going to cry again. I do, because God is so good that nothing compares. And when you go to them concerts, young people, and people be jumping and shouting and smoking weed in the concert and getting that doesn't compare to the mighty anointing of God. Man, you know, when you feel the anointing of God, it overtakes you. The Holy Ghost overtakes you, and you begin to cry. You begin to shout out. You begin to feel something in the inside. But nothing compares. But guess what happened? We replaced him with something else. We put God aside and said, God, we don't know, love you. We don't need you. I can get it on my own. But God is saying, nothing compares to my love. Nothing compares to my will. So your life is a mess. You know why? Because you replaced him. And then you didn't acquire him seriously. Because like with Moses, you know how we get. We got our stuff now. We're too high up. We don't even want to give God our all. He said, give him a little bit. We give him whatever we want. And that's for each and every one of us. But when Moses came before the Lord, he inquired of him. And the Lord didn't just speak to him. He said, listen here, stop where you are right now. And you know how we get, especially our sisters. We get them good shoes, them $1,000 shoes, them Hollywood shoes. And the Lord said to Moses, he said, before I speak to you, before you touch this ground, take off your shoes, because you're standing on holy ground. So when you come before the God and you come in a church, you don't want to change, get out, because you're going to run into stuff. And y'all that get up and go with and run around with and hang out with and don't know if people have the Lord in their life, you better watch out us husband and wives and your kids. I went in my house and anointed every room in the house. You got to pray about things and say, Lord, I want you to dwell in this place. Because the devil's going to come in and steal everything right out. Do you think I'm playing here, church? Do you think I'm playing? Do you think I'm preaching to play games with you? God said, he said that we were to watch for your souls. That's what God has given to choir us. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy the word of God this morning? Give God some praise. It says in Romans 8:18, consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So when I said nothing compares, consider what you're going through, what you ran into, how things have jumped in your life. I want you to know this, nothing compares to the glory. So when they come to your door and try to sell you life insurance that you don't get to enjoy. So yeah, you got $1 million policy, but you dead. But the policy that I get in the Lord, he said, I'm going to say, he said, destroy your, I'm going to put treasures in heaven for you. I'm going to give you streets that are made with gold. I have a mansion for you. And if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you so. So this is what my father said. So there's nothing compared. I don't live in a mansion now. And it says when you get there, there'll be no more crying. How many of you have been crying, going through some things? And you cry, Lord. But he said, I hear the prayer of the righteous. Are you righteous? Are you making righteous decisions? Are you saying, Lord? And it's still a quiet voice seeking him and saying, Lord, change my mind, change my ways, change my stuff. Because my children are strung out. Like I told you last week, God don't plant trees, he plants seeds. There's a seed that has been planted today. And I want you to know, will it grow? It will only grow if it's on good ground, good soil. Amen, amen, and praise God. I pray that you enjoyed this episode of Revival Today. Please come visit us at 1850 Elm Street. Our service time is 10 a.m. Manchester, New Hampshire. Again, I want to bring to your attention, we're starting our new building fund this year to get ready to build a new church in the city. We need your help. This is a legacy for our community, so we need your help. Send a check to House of Praise, NEP. All right? Make it out to House of Praise, NEP. And be a blessing. You can also go to our website at houseofpraisenep.org and you can make a donation online as well.